where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and purpose by embracing our divine essence. We have Heather Alice Shea on the show today, and we're talking about trusting your intuition. Heather is an internationally recognized intuitive empath, intuition teacher, speaker, and mentor who helps spiritual seekers, healers, and coaches clarify their purpose and cultivate their intuitive power so they can create prosperous lives and businesses that they love. From an early age, Heather has been profoundly empathic with a deep understanding of the emotional blocks and traumas of others. But it wasn't until 2012, when she had a severe medical crisis, that she became profoundly intuitive as well. She gained the ability to see and hear energetic intuition and information for herself and for others. In 2014, she founded the High Vibe Coaching Academy, which specializes in intuition-focused and evidence-based live coaching training and educational programs that empower individuals to claim their purpose, their potential, and their prosperity. She currently works with clients all over the world via Skype in her signature down-to-earth style full of humor, heart, and the occasional swear word. Heather and I had so much fun recording this episode, and we covered so many amazing things, including her awakening story, where she went from literally not believing in anything of the sort to fully hearing intuitive guidance in her head like she heard any other voice. Really powerful story. We talk about how surrender is the force and the energy and the power that helps us to connect with our guidance. We talked about intuitive plateaus, ebbs and flows in our connection to our intuition. We talked about how you have been following your intuitive guidance all along, even if you didn't think you were intuitive at the time, because we all are, how we live our lives, and specific examples of how you can figure out if you've been doing that or how you've been doing that, because you have been in your own life to date. We talked about what actually causes suffering, and it's not the pain, it's the stress or the resistance to it in the first place, and how to trust yourself and your intuition in the more painful times in life, how they actually birth us to be able to follow our soul and follow our guidance in much more profound ways on the other side. There are so many blessings in those moments that we wish we could bypass. And we also talked about why sometimes waiting is the best intuitive guidance that we can follow, even if it feels like super painful at the time, that we are always receiving guidance and that we have to be open to receiving that guidance to be able to receive it. We literally talked about so many amazing things in this podcast episode and in the secret episode at aninspiredlife.com.au/secret. We even go over the difference between the egoic based voice in your head and your intuitive guidance. So I recommend that you check out the secret episode as well. Thank you so much for doing this episode with me, Heather.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat.
So I would love to know, first of all, before we started this conversation, you talked about when you woke up, in some sense of that there was like a starting to you knowing your intuition. Can you share with us a bit of your journey, please?
Sure. So my story is a little unusual. So I'm an intuitive guide and an empath, right? So what I do is I use my intuitive abilities and my heightened empathic skills to help people uncover root emotional blocks and, you know, to some extent mental blocks, to tapping into their intuition, to aligning with their true life's purpose, and really just getting the hell out of their own way long enough for them to start living the life that they really want to live. So, you know, most people that use intuitive, and I shy away from the word psychic just because I feel like it's kind of old school and there's a lot of, I don't know, weird energy around that word. But yeah, I mean, more or less, that's what it is, right? It's psychic ability. So most psychics or mediums or intuitives or however you want to slice it, they have a very common narrative behind their work. And that narrative usually goes something like, oh, well, you know, I've been doing this ever since I was born. And, you know, when I was 3 years old, I could see the angels, or I could talk to my dead grandpa. And that is not the case for me at all. I had, you know, long story short, when I was 35 years old, I had a medical crisis that was induced from a surgery that I had that kind of went really wrong. So 5 years previous to that surgery, I was diagnosed with a chronic illness, and I'd had a surgery a year with this illness. It was stage 4 I had a stage 4 endometriosis, like the really, really bad kind. So I'd had a surgery a year leading up to 2012, and a whole bunch of other stuff was going on. It wasn't just endometriosis. And in 2012, I had this surgery that was quote unquote supposed to heal me, help me, you know, make all of this stuff go away, even though my doctors had absolutely no clue what was going on. So I had this surgery and I was failing to recover. Mm-hmm. So, you know, previous to this experience, I was raised in a very fundamentally religious house, hyper conservative, right? Like, I was raised in the country, gun-toting, like, conservative chick. If I couldn't touch it, see it, smell it, or taste it, I didn't care. Like, I was type A to the max, like, just completely, like, my brothers, I have 4 brothers, they call me the ball buster. Like, I just so could care less about all of this hippie stuff. So for me to end up doing this work, yeah, like, I just, like, for me to end up doing it, it's like, it's the universe definitely has a sense of humor. So previous to my awakening experience, I wasn't into any of this stuff, right? So you know, I had this surgery, and I had turned to meditation because I had heard that it was really great at reducing pain, you know, because the last thing I wanted was an opiate addiction, which, you know, those pills and drugs, I mean, I had a pharmacy in my house. It was nothing for me to get a hold of that medication. And I just wasn't going to go down that route. So I had heard that the research showed that meditation was very, very effective at helping a person cope with their pain. And I found that I could pop into meditative states very, very easily. It was just super fun and super easy for me to do it. And it really worked. So previous to this experience, I had learned how to meditate. So lying there one day, you know, just absolute, like, my legs were swelling, and just, I had this moment where I thought, it wasn't really a thought, it was more like a realization that I was in trouble. Like, I had this overwhelming feeling that I might not make it. Like, I might not survive. And my father had died in 2006, and I watched him die over a period of about 10 months. So I knew what death, I know that it, I was familiar with its, like, cold, chilly little hand, you know? And I just thought to myself, God, you know, I am really in trouble. And I couldn't shake the feeling. I tried to brush it off and say, oh, you know, you're fine. You'll get over this, you know, whatever. And I was like, well, I'll just go to the emergency room. And I thought to myself, well, you know, that's not going to do anything. You know damn good and well, no one can help you. Like, this was supposed to be the thing that helped you. And it's not. So, I, all of a sudden in my mind, I saw this flash of my daughter finding my body cold and stiff, like I found my dad's, and I became terrified that she would find me like that. So instantly, of course, I went into type A solve problems Heather mode. So I was like, okay, well, if I die, then I'm going to get up and I'm going to go in and I'm going to wake my husband up and I'm going to tell him to shut my daughter's bedroom door so she can't come in and find me, and I'll have him call the police and he'll get my body out of the house before my daughter finds me and everything will be fine. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. You're going to be dead and you're not going to be able to do anything about it. And the minute that I realized I'd be powerless, I was completely pissed. Like, just rage from the last 5 years, from a lifetime of being told that if I could just be a good girl and do the right thing, God would help me and save me. Right. I was just like, I hated everything and everyone, especially God. I was very, very, very angry. And so when I had this realization, I said to every fiber of my body was just enraged. And I said to God, I was like, I don't know who or what you are, but you will answer me. Like, if I'm going to die, then you're going to tell me why. And I was calling down the thunder. I call it my Lieutenant Dan moment. In Forrest Gump, when Lieutenant Dan was on the shrimping boat and he's like, it's you and me, God. Like, that was me. I was like, it was awful. I was very disrespectful, I have to admit. But so as I'm like going off, like, I'm going to get answers. Like, I'm going to meditate. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get answers as to why this has happened to me, because I don't understand. And I've done nothing but try to live my life, you know, in a good way. All of a sudden in my mind, it was like a shotgun went off. It's like, I heard this, it was like a pop. And then I heard all the emotion drained out of me. And I heard a voice very calmly say, Heather, you can accept what has happened to you with grace and dignity, or you can remain in your anger and your bitterness for the rest of your days. However long it might be, your time is now. Choose wisely. And I was like, holy crap. Wow. Nothing like that had ever happened to me. I was like, it's funny too, like looking back on it, my response was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting somewhere, because I've never had that happen. So something must be going on. Killer. So I grabbed my phone, put on a meditation, and decide, like, my intention was to go and find out what the hell, like, why my life had fallen apart and all this stuff. So I get into the meditation and I see like this being approach me, which I now know is my higher self. Then I was just like, whatever, dude, I don't care who you are. I'm just here for you to, you know,
just give me my answers.
Yeah, give me my shit. Yeah, it was awful. So, but then as he started to approach me, I felt like these waves of love, and it's not a human love. Like, it's so cliche and I can't even stand to hear it, but it's so true. Like, unconditional love. Like, this is divine love. Like, it's not a human thing, this thing that I felt. And so as it started coming towards me, it completely disarmed me. And so I just started like relaxing a little bit. And then I said to myself, okay, well, Heather, you know, you called this situation, like, this was your moment. You want answers. So you got a choice to make. You can either accept this or not. Like, clearly something is happening. So this is the moment you've waited for. So I said to myself, well, no matter what I choose, I'm going to do it all the way. So if I choose anger, I'm going to be the angriest human being on the face of the earth. And if I choose grace and love, then I'm going to endeavor to be the most graceful, you know, most forgiving and loving person I can be from this moment forward. So clearly I chose grace, because I'm like, I don't want to end up like my grandmother. That just looked very, very attractive to me. So I said to the being, I said, look, man, you know, and I got a choice to make, and I want you to know that I let this go, and I'm okay with my life and everything that's happened. And if I die, I'm okay. And I'm at peace with God, and you know, that I'm all right. And I want to let go. I want to forgive. I want to be okay and at peace with myself. So I said, you know, I'm not going to ask for answers. I'm not going to ask for heal. I'm not going to ask for you to heal me. I'm not going to ask for anything. I fully accept everything that has happened. And if I wake up tomorrow, great. And if I don't, that's okay too. And then I said, but what I would like, if I could ask for something, the only thing I want is more of this feeling you're giving me. I remember I asked for more of that love feeling. I was like, 'cause that feels really good. Like, if you will just let me feel that, I'm cool. So I fell asleep I just kind of drifted off into sleep from there. But the next morning I woke up completely healed. And not only that, but I could still hear that voice. So in my coaching practice, when I would go in with my clients, I found that I could hear that voice for them. So like, I would have a client come in and they would say, oh, I'm depressed, I'm stressed, and it's because of my ex-boyfriend. And I would hear, no, it's not her ex-boyfriend. It's because she was sexually abused when she was 5. Wow. And you need to talk about that. Or stuff like that, right? So so I had to make a choice. You know, am I going to use these gifts in my coaching practice? Am I going to be a mainstream? Because my goal at that time was to go to grad school and become a psychotherapist, a licensed psychotherapist. Still very much in the box, you know, mainstream.
What were you coaching on back then?
Just regular emotional empowerment, life coaching. moving people from discordant emotional states, you know, stress, depression, anxiety, that sort of thing, how to cope with that. And my life coaching training from HeartMath was heavily focused on that. So still emotional empowerment, but none of the spiritual stuff at all. So I got my ego out of the way and realized that, hey, I was given this skill. It's a skill that I have, and it provides a crazy amount of insight to people super quick. Like, what's going to take you 6 sessions to finally get to, or 6 months of, you know, regular psychotherapy, we're going to get it over in one because I'm going to feel it instantly. And you can't lie because there it is, you know, not that a person wants to lie to them. It's not like they're lying to me. It's more like you just don't know what you don't know, what you don't know. I mean, which is why you're seeking coaching and therapy to begin with. Right.
Yeah.
So my journey into becoming an intuitive guide and a healer really started from that whole scenario of my life basically falling apart. And as I reflect on my story, people are always floored by the whole spontaneous healing thing. They're like, whoa, that's incredible. And it's incredible that you're intuitive, and that's amazing. And what I say to that is, that's not the miracle. It sounds like that part's the miracle, but that's not the miracle. To me, the miracle is the moment I chose to surrender. And that is something that every last human being on the face of this earth is capable of doing. So if you want a miracle to show up in your life, do the one thing that everyone needs to do to have them show up, which is to surrender, to understand that you have to allow the divine into your life. And the minute that you do, your life will change in ways that defy rational thought, but are nonetheless very practical and have the power to absolutely help you create a better life for yourself. So after I woke up, I spent, you know, a solid probably 8 months of figuring out the science of intuition. I wanted, you know, my logical mind, right, that type A personality, I wanted to read the literature. I wanted to see, okay, you know, what does our species currently know about the body's ability to self-heal? Because clearly that happened for me. And I wanted answers as to how that happened. And of course, I stumbled on Greg Braden's work, which we were talking about that earlier before the show started.
Greg Braden.
So which he's like our superhero. We're fangirls of Greg Braden. Greg, yeah. If you're listening to this, we love you.
Greg, if you're listening to this, come be on my podcast. I'll send this to him.
Yeah, you should, for sure.
Wow.
So that's my story into this. That's my story into it. And I consider myself like a living testament to the fact that anyone can do this, because if I can do this, you can do this. I promise. It's very much a skill that you can learn. I kind of fell into my intuitive skill, but it's absolutely something that you can learn. It doesn't have to be this grand miraculous thing. A lot of people find their intuitive, you know, abilities that way, but it doesn't have to be that. You can learn how to do it on your own. So that's what my coaching practice is all about.
Thank you for sharing. I love that you talked about your surrender being the miracle, because when I listened to your story, I was like, damn it, she's one of those overnight people, you know, where they just wake up one day and suddenly they're intuitive. I'm like, damn it, I was not one of those people. But all of those people that I have read about or heard stories from, the overnight ones, that came when they had this point of like usually so much pain and this point of surrender where they were like, I've got no other option, like it has to be God. And that is something that I feel we can learn from before we get to like 4 years of physical pain and like pushing ourselves away from that. We can learn to surrender and trust and stop trying to control the world around us. I've done that a lot and still am working on that before we get to that pain. And then that's like how we won't have to have the breakthrough moment, you know, because we've been building up to it for the 4 years before that. So yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it's I as I look on my story, I'm like, I paid a heavy price for what I had to go through. And it's just absolutely unnecessary, right, for us to do it. But I know how you feel when you're like, oh, she's one of those spontaneous people. Because I used to look at, before I woke up, I would look at people like that and go, whoa, like that's, I literally, when I wrote my awakening story, I start out my awakening story by saying, I was never one of those people. So what's so fun and what I'm grateful for, like I think it's very healthy to not want to change your story, right? So like that's my story. And I think one of the cool things about my story, there's things I love about it, there's things I don't love about it, but one of the things I love about it is I do know what it's like to not feel in touch with your intuition. I do know what it's like to not feel things or hear things or be a quote sensitive person. Like I know what it feels like to not have that alignment. And if you have had these abilities your whole life and you don't know what that experience is like, you know, it's not to say that you can't teach it. You absolutely can. I see where that's a huge advantage for me in my work. Mm. I think it makes me way more compassionate. And I think I identify, you know, the other way. I've had 35 years of living the other way. I've had 5 years of living as an intuitive. So in my mind, I'm like the chick who doesn't get it in the corner. That's, you know, not like in on the joke yet. You know what I mean? Like that's how I feel about it. So, and another thing I think is so heartening, right? Like for those of you listening that you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, gosh, I want to feel that alignment. I want to feel that connection. What can I do? How can I bring this about in my life? Realize that it really comes through understanding that to some extent you already are an intuitive. It's not about becoming intuitive or not. It's about recognizing what's already there for you. So as I look back on my life, like I sort of identify as someone who, quote, wasn't intuitive before, but now in retrospect, understanding what intuition actually is and what my higher self is and how this whole spiritual world works and spiritual communication works, I realize I've been doing it my whole life, right? Like in retrospect, I'm like, oh, that time when I was 12, oh, that was my alignment kicking in. I just didn't identify it as that in that moment. I had a client once, I was like, listen to your inner voice, pay attention, tap in. I gave her some exercises and she's like, I can't hear anything. I'm like, you can, it's there. It's here's the characteristics of your intuitive voice. One of the things I teach my clients is how to tell the difference between their ego voice and their intuitive voice. The quality of the voice is how you tell the difference. People focus on trying to find the right answer and that's the wrong way to do it. You should focus on the voice that's telling you the answer. And if you know the qualities of that voice, then you can then decipher which voice you should listen to and the right answer then naturally flows. So we were going through all those exercises and she gets back on the phone and she's like, Heather, I think I know what you're talking about. I went to the craft store and I bought a pack of crayons and I said to myself, Margaret, don't leave the crayons in the car because it's going to be hot this afternoon and all that money that you just spent is going to be ruined. And she goes, and I didn't take my crayons out and they were ruined. But that was my, my intuition trying to tell me, to warn me. I'm like, yeah, it's those mundane everyday things. Right? Like if you'll just stop and trust yourself and pay attention and stop brushing off these experiences, you'll see that you really are connected. So the first thing is just to know that you are already having those experiences. What you have to do is have the guts enough to trust them mm-hmm. and to start giving them credence and taking them seriously and mm-hmm. accepting the fact that you are an intuitive being, right? That we are all intuiting every moment of our lives. It's just whether or not we want to consciously pay attention to that or not. Mm.
So. And so what's happened for me in my own like deepening into my intuitive abilities is that I get to another level and I'm like, whoa, I can feel all of this or hear this. Or it's so exciting. I can do this. And then it has become normal. And so I'm like, do I still have the same ability? Like, are they still there? So did you ever get to a point where that voice inside of your head, I mean, yours is a little bit of a more unique story. Did you ever get to a point where you were like, is that my intuition of my higher self? Or is that just me talking? Because now you've become so integrated with that voice that it can, like, that you maybe can't tell the difference. Have you ever had that, like, plateau?
Yeah, I think so. I think it ebbs and flows for sure. You know, there are definitely, I don't know, I would say inner and outer things that make my connection more or less strong. I mean, for sure it ebbs and flows. Like if I don't have enough sleep, forget it. It's not happening. I need sleep, right? Like my physical body absolutely affects the connection. It's very, very important, you know, for me to take care of myself. I do notice that it's not there. It's just, it's
that it's not as strong maybe. And I'm too tired for it to be as accurate as it can be. Mm. I think that to speak specifically to what you were just talking about, I think that once your intuition, you integrate that voice to some extent, intention and focus become very important. So for instance, if I want to get an answer to a question, or if I have something that I'm trying to figure out, or I want to gather more, you know, information on, then it isn't just like, oh, I'm thinking about it, because clearly I can just think about it. My mind can just have that mind chatter. It's really about learning how to set the tone and having a methodology or a process in place to be able to do that. So how do I tell the difference? Is it just my mind thinking things, or am I actually intuiting that information from my higher self, right? That's where intention and focus comes in. And I also tell everyone, you know, my clients and the people that I speak to, look, this is a lifestyle, man. You're not going on a diet. You're changing forever. It's a paradigm through which I live my life. It's a perspective I hold, or at least endeavor to hold, every minute of my life. So, you know, you can't, so it's kind of like the church on Sunday analogy. Like, if you think you're going to show up on, you know, 6 days a week, party and you drink and be, you know, an all around general, you know, shitty person, and then show up on Sunday and expect, you know, to have this divine, it's not going to happen, right? So I think committing to saying, okay, this is a choice, and this is the way I want to live my life. I want to live my life walking hand in hand with the divine, and I want to have that relationship there. It's a relationship. So intention and focus help that. So it's kind of like if you wanted to ask your friend a question, you'd set aside time to pick up the phone and text or call. And it's the same thing with my guides and higher self. I do. That is still a process that is sacred to me, or something that I enter into. And a big reason why I still do that is because I want to make sure that I'm not just letting my mind chatter. It's very effortless and easy. I mean, it's as simple as me just centering and I focus on my heart. We know through, you know, the research and the literature that intuitive information actually comes in through your heart field. So I like to focus on my heart because I know that that's where the information comes in. And I just set an intention. I ask my questions and I focus intently and listen on the answer without expectation or judgment. And when I do that, I'm right every single time, right? Mm-hmm. But again, that's a skill. I'm not getting answers that way because I'm just like red intuitive. It's because I'm disciplined and I create that space in my life. And again, anyone can do that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely anyone can do that. So that's what I think is so awesome about what we do, is that, like, it's like this massive secret that people aren't aware of. Like, hey, guess what? You're one of those people too. Come hang out with us.
Yes. Yes. And that's something that I am having a conversation about more and more, is that whole, we actually have been following our intuitive guidance our whole life, and we just don't realize that that's what we're doing. And I said to my mentor in, like, it's been a big year this year so far, and in one of my sessions, I was like, I don't know. Like, I trust the divine. Right now, I just, like, I feel like I don't trust myself today. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you need to realize you are the divine, and that every little thing that you've done along the way, everything that you thought was off path, taught you exactly what you needed to get to here right now. So even the things that looked, and I know this, but I needed her to say it to me that day, even those things that were like, oh, they looked like a bad choice in retrospect, that, like, that could still have been us being guided to go there to learn whatever we needed to learn. You know, it's so, can you tell us maybe some examples of how your clients don't realize, but they're being intuitively guided already?
Yeah. So today, I mean, God, that's a great question. So I have a client that she's in my Becoming Intuitive Coach program, and we're going through, I think we're on like session 5 or something, where the whole module in the program is about developing and honing in on your own, I call it your unicorn effect. So it's all about discovering your own intuitive gifts. How does that show up for you? What do you really want to do? Do you really want to be a health coach? Or do you really want to be an emotional empowerment coach? Or do you really, like, what is it that you're really here to do? And so the whole time that we had been, you know, having sessions up until this point, she was saying she wanted to do health coaching with emotional empowerment. So like her primary modality of coaching would be for health coaching and then using emotional empowerment to, you know, create a healthier lifestyle. So she sends me all of her homework and she's like, I realize that I want to be an intuitive, I want to be an intuitive coach. Like, yeah, like I realize that that is really what I want to do. Like not just use my intuition through my health coaching, but I actually want to unlock my intuitive abilities and use those and just be an intuitive guide. So I was like, okay, well, let's go back and let's look over your homework assignments because we need to, you know, tweak outcomes. Let's just make sure, let's go back and see what we've done so far. So we go back and look at her homework and everything is, it's all perfectly put in there. None of it was about health coaching. None of it. It was all about this. It just took her 5 sessions to get to a place to realize that, yeah, that's what you're going to do. And you've been doing it the whole time. Every assignment was that, like, even when we wrote her little cocktail pitch, it was still like, yeah, I use into it. It was just perfect. Like we had nothing to go back and tweak. And I was laughing. I'm like, see, this whole time you thought you were doing one thing, but in reality, you were guided, you know, into your, that higher place to where you're really going to be. You know, I think to speak to the, like the bad moments or like, oh, I feel like I'm off path or I'm in this negative state or I'm out of alignment or whatever. What I have found what I realized with that in my own personal life, but and also working with my clients is that is such a human thing to say. That comes from such a human perspective, man. Like that you can even be out of alignment is a human convention. I mean, I know that we talk about it like that because that's our human experience. But the reality is it's impossible to not be connected to your higher self. It's impossible because you are your higher self. Mm-hmm. Like people come to me, oh, I want to connect with my higher self. I'm like, you are, congratulations. And you know, that'll be $0. Like, so I think that when we talk about feeling off or bad, the first thing we've got to realize is that's a judgment call. That's really a judgment you've placed on it. You're really just judging it. Now, I mean, to some extent we need to, right? Because there are certainly states of being and experiences that suck that we want to avoid, right? This isn't spiritual bypassing, right? I'm not one of those spiritual people that's like, it's all love, it's all perfect. Bullshit. It's not all love and it's not all perfect. Like there are things going on in your life that need changing. But the best way to change them is to realize that this too is divine. I don't need to resist it. I need to elevate my perspective that in such a way that allows me to understand it. And through my understanding, it then shifts. It morphs. It becomes something else. And in that becoming something else, I now have wiggle room to work with it, to learn from it, to use it, to make it to, I mean, this is alchemic stuff, right? We take the stuff that used to hurt us. And it, like, there's a scripture in the Bible. It says, give me, and I think it's Matthew, show me your weaknesses and I will give you your strengths. That's what we're doing here. So, you know, to anyone who feels like they're out of alignment or you're having that quote negative, the first thing to realize is it's not. That's just your experience of it. And if you can give up your judgment and have faith and trust in yourself that this is taking you somewhere, you will get there much faster, right? Just realize that it is serving you and that having rough, you know, experiences, you know, life is a constant ebb and a flow. And when you're in the ebb, like when you're down and out, that is a part of life. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, the Buddha himself said life is suffering. It's a fundamental part of being human. And we transcend suffering, not by not suffering, but by suffering well, by allowing ourselves to suffer and not resist that suffering. There's a line in the movie Lawrence of Arabia where I'm going to do a magic trick. They're like, oh, cool. He takes a lighter and he burns his hand with it. And he sits there and he's just like, boom. And he's like burning his hand, right? Like the fire is touching his hand. And they go, how did you do it? How did you do it? And he goes, the trick is to not mind that it hurts. The trick is to be okay with it, to be at peace with the fact that you're in the ebb because you're going to feel the ebb. And that's one thing I wish, like the conscious community, you know, as spiritual seekers, I think what we've got to start doing is realizing that you can't bypass it. You've got to go through those negative experiences. But if you sit with them well and you use them for what they're intended to be, which is you're supposed to be learning from that, you know, not sitting there going, I want to get, this is bad. How do I get out of it? It's more like, no, this is exactly where the hell I need to be. And let me sit with this for as long as it takes for me to figure out what I have got to change in my life in order for this to change. So I, you know, I don't want to get too romantic with this here, but I think that suffering is divine. I think it too can be divine if we allow it to be. And I certainly feel like that's, if we choose to surrender and we choose grace, your suffering can transform your life. And I'm a literal testament to that. Like a walking version of the fact that you can do that and that it can do wonderful things in your life, right? But you've got to let go and step into that self-trust. So I love how you say you are divine. You know, you're like we're all down here living this life because it's ours to live. My higher self and guides always say, Heather, make a choice. You're down there living it. We sent you, you're the one who's there. It's not up to us. It's up to you. That's why you're there. So what do you want to do? Right? Like, you're like, what should I do? Spirit's like, I don't know. What do you want to do? Like you're the badass. You're the one that's down there in the 3D reality and the muck and the vibe. Like, you're the one best equipped to handle it. So yeah, like that's a really empowering thought, right? Like, I can handle this. I can do this. And if I make a mistake, who cares? Because it's all good anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I know that before the start of this year, I was one of those people who tried to avoid suffering. I didn't realize my whole spiritual path was me attempting to avoid ever feeling pain. And then, of course, I did feel a lot of pain, and it's so funny. I was like, this is all off path. I had this experience where I did a future journal entry and I had my puppy sitting behind my legs. I was on my new couch in my new house with my ideal man in the next room reading. And then I was sitting on the couch journaling and I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what I journaled about a couple of years ago. And then I think it was about a week later, my puppy passed away and then I separated from my partner and I was like, what the fuck? This is not okay.
Wow.
Real lesson in surrender. And it's so funny because I downloaded from the universe, like the divine, whatever your version of it is. I downloaded a vision for my life for 2017. And when I looked back at it, like a couple of months afterwards, I was like, oh my God. That man was never in the vision, not once. And like, he was such a big part of my life, but he wasn't even in there. It's like I knew anyway. And of course it was divine, but that resistance to it in those times when I was like, yeah, resisting that we were meant to separate or that actually it was for my own fulfillment of my own desires that we would separate. It was the resistance that caused the greatest suffering. And when I have had conversations since then where I've been sitting there and I can feel my human self is like, this is so fucking shit. And then it's like my soul or like holding up like as a bowl underneath her. And she's like, if you knew what was coming next, you'd even be crying. Like, this is so perfect. And so that willingness to feel whatever the pain is actually took away most of the suffering. Like it's only to me, it feels like suffering now when I'm resisting it. Otherwise it just feels like blissful pain. Mm. There's like a different quality to it. Yeah. So thank you for sharing.
That's very, very powerful. No problem. I remember watching an HBO special. I can't remember the gentleman's name. I have a horrible case of CRS. I was diagnosed with it. Can't remember shit. I can't remember shit. Okay. I'm trying, but 40-year-old brain. So an HBO special, it was a journalist who was abducted by ISIS twice and he died. They actually beheaded him. But all of the inmates in that prison said that if they could be given an anti-stress pill or an anti-pain pill, they would choose the anti-stress every time, that it was not the pain that caused them the greatest suffering. It was the anticipation of the pain and being afraid of the pain, being afraid of what would happen next. And these are people who were tortured by ISIS. So if that tells you something about pain, it is not pain itself that hurts. Whether that's physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, I don't care. Whatever kind of pain. We are so much more capable of handling whatever life throws at us. We don't even know how powerful we are. We are capable of things just beyond our even comprehension. Think about the greatest, you know, struggle that you've had in your life. If before that struggle, if that would have happened, you would sit back and go, oh no, man, I'd never make it out of that. Oh, if that happened to me, I'd never be able to handle it. Well, there it goes happening to you, and there you go handling it. And you do a pretty good job of it, right? So we have the capacity to deal with these things. What we need to learn how to do is face our fear. Because it's really not the pain. It's the projection and the fear that we have around the experience. So it's like being dead is okay. It's dying everybody's scared of. Like what we need to do is realize that we are far more capable of handling these things and that in our pain and turning toward it and leaning toward it is really where we get those tremendous nuggets of wisdom. You know, Carl Jung, he's a founder of basically psychotherapy with Freud, you know, back in the day. He said that the shadow self, which is basically like if you study Eckhart Tolle's work, he talks about the pain body, right? He said the shadow is the most powerful aspect of your beingness, right? So if you've studied like Freudian, that would be like your id, right? Like your unconscious self, that part of you that you've denied, repressed, suppressed, given away, taught was wrong. Parents, you know, said, don't give that up. Don't be this way. Don't think that way. Don't talk that way. It's all those things about yourself that you've repressed or denied. It is through the reclamation of those things. It's through shedding the light back on them. It's through turning back into them that we are able to claim back our real power, right? So, and that happens by going through pain, not trying to circumvent it or dress it up. Like I'm from the South and we have the saying in the South, you can't put lipstick on a pig. Like it just is what it is. You can't dress it up. You've just got to feel it and let it be what it is and work with it. So, but I really feel like so many of us now are doing that well and realizing that that really is the path of an enlightened life. Isn't to go be positive and be a puppies and rainbows all the time. It's to cast light on the darkness. It's to walk into the black places. It's to turn and into all of those sick, you know, kind of scary, icky, ooh, you know, and make that light. We really are warriors in that way. It's a very destructive process, actually, to align, because it's the shedding of everything you aren't, you know, it's getting rid of all this crap around expectations and just letting yourself be like, okay, yeah, that's true. I'm kind of selfish, or I'm kind of an asshole about whatever, you know, I'm impatient. I'm looking at those parts of yourself that you've been taught are so horrible, you know, and going, yeah, it's all right. And I can change that. And that's okay. You know, I say the word fuck too much, and that's all right too. And if I want to stop doing that, I can. And if I don't, that's okay too. I'm now in the driver's seat because I have awareness around it, right? So, do you know, yeah, that's what I love about this work. It's that part of it is super fun to me.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's like this big energy sucker over in your corner that you're like, no, I will not look at that. I will not look at that. Oh, hey, I love you. And then it's like just suddenly not even a thing anymore. It's that like I can spend a whole day running from my stuff, and then that night I'm like, okay, I'm not taking you into tomorrow, I'll sit with you. And within like whatever it can be instantaneous, it can be in half an hour, the ability to look at it and to show myself love in that just transmutes it. It's amazing. So in those moments where it looks like things are falling apart, even like if that's just to our egoic mind, in those moments I know that I often am like, shit, can't trust my intuition, I don't know if I can trust myself and my connection. How do you continue to trust your intuition in those moments? Because sometimes it could be like, well, my intuition got me into this, or my intuition, like, what if I can't even get the right connection and a clear enough connection while I'm feeling like this? How do you continue to trust in those moments?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Thank you for that. So first of all, you know, if you're depressed, if you're really caught up in anxiety, fear, negative emotion. So from a psychophysiological perspective, the first thing to know with that is it's actually really hard from a discordant, and if we had time to go into the science, I would on this, but basically when you're feeling low vibe energy, right? Low emotional energy, you know, as experienced, what is low emotional energy? It's like, it's negative emotion. It's fear, you know, stress, anxiety, shame, guilt, blame, anger, resentment, frustration, overwhelm, apathy is a big one. Like, I just can't, I'm over it. I can't take it anymore. If you're experiencing any of those feelings, the first thing to realize is now is not the time for you to like try to go be an intuitive superstar. You know, you're in a place, it's kind of like, I want to go make myself a ham sandwich, but I can't leave my bedroom. It's like, well, then you can't make a ham sandwich, right? Like, you're just not in the place that lets you feel that. So what I would say is, one, be super compassionate with yourself and just know that, like, it's time to rest and maybe just chill and maybe just be with yourself for a little bit and just know that you're guided and protected on another level, and that if you can't feel that right now, that's okay, but you do have you. And once you start learning to trust and rely on yourself, you're never alone, you're with yourself. So a lot of this is just self-reliance, you know, being okay with being with yourself. And then my second thing is wait. Just wait, because this too shall pass. Like, the truth is, we are going to have those moments where we feel it, but if you don't give up, I promise, if you will just sit, be compassionate with yourself and go into self-love and say, yeah, you know, this is where I am. I'm having a rough time and that's okay. I know that this is going to pass, and the fastest way for me to let it pass is to just let myself feel it. You'll find that the next day you'll wake up and you'll feel a little better. And this is true of depression, you know, too. If you look at, you know, the best thing to do is sit, be compassionate. Don't try to force yourself to do too much. Mm-hmm. Another thing I would say, if, you know, you find yourself, if it's been a prolonged period and it isn't getting better, that you should probably get help. Like, you should probably find someone who can help you navigate your life. I mean, that, you know, coaching is a billion-dollar industry for a reason, and the reason why is people have discovered that it works and it helps. So, you know, I'm not trying to do a softball pitch for coaching here, but if you're hurting, I mean, if your arm's broken, you go see a doctor. If you're thirsty, you drink a glass of water. If you find yourself in an extended period like that, reach out to someone who can help you get out of that. I think if you want to tap in intuitively too, if you don't meditate, start meditating for just 5 to 10 minutes a day. That will absolutely kickstart your system. The reason why, it's not just some lofty spiritual platitude. Meditation is shown to synchronize your system. So what it does is it takes your energy. Like, the body emits electromagnetic. There's two places in your body that emit an electromagnetic field. One is your brain, the other one's your heart. And so meditation research is very clear on this. If you meditate even just 5 minutes a day, it helps bring those systems. It helps, like, the word for it is coherence, right? So it makes them all, it's kind of like piano notes. It harmonizes the body, right? So a discordant negative emotion is kind of like piano keys that are, you know, it's kind of off, right? It gives you that unharmonious sound. Meditation helps bring your physical body back into that state of coherence. It calms your autonomic nervous system. So your autonomic nervous system has your parasympathetic and your sympathetic pathways. So it activates your relaxation response, right, through that rhythmic breathing. It's like hitting the brake on your system. It gives you a nice little reset, lowers your cortisol, helps you chill out. And if you'll just start doing that, you'll find that it will make it easier for you to tap in, right? Because it puts you back in a physiological state that makes it possible. Like now you're in the kitchen making a sandwich kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just super quick tip would be to meditate just for 5 to 10 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be a big deal. You don't have to do like 30 minutes. I don't have time for that. I meditate approximately an hour a day, but I do it in 10 minute increments, sometimes 20 minutes if I can, you know, get it in. So, you know, and having realistic expectations about what you're capable of getting done in a day. I mean, most of us really pack on way too much stuff. So, if you're, yeah, again, self-compassion,
yeah,
chill out, relax, you know, yeah, meditate, let yourself be where you are, take care of yourself, trust yourself, be with yourself, and know that everything in the world changes, man. There's the only thing consistent in this world is change. That's it. So if it sucks now, guess what? You got nowhere to go but up. Congratulations.
Yeah. In that time for me, one of the most important and profound things that I realized was I wasn't getting guidance because my guidance was do nothing, wait, rest, be with yourself. And that was the guidance. And I was like, no, there must be other guidance. I was denying the guidance.
Oh, that's a, thank you for that. That's actually a really good point. So a lot of people say, oh, I'm not getting the answer. It's like, well, you are, but you want it to be your answer. You want it to be an answer that works for you, right? And none of us like to hear the rest answer. I know I don't. But you're right. That's such a good point that it's, yeah, a lot of times it is just chill out, man. Like, calm down.
I have to quickly on the hearing the answer that we don't like. That's how I knew that I was separating from my former partner. One day I was like, oh, so if you're not afraid, you can always get the right answer. Cool. So is this person the right person for me? And it was like, no. And I was like, let me ask you again. Is this... like 20 times I'm like, I'll change the way that you can keep, like if we just move the responses over here so that yes is here and no, like, and it was just like constant no, and I was like, oh shit. And if you get the answer in, like, you need to be willing to hear the answer to be able to receive it. Yeah
That's a huge block, is being afraid of what it's going to be, you know. So it's almost like, spirit, I'm going to give you another chance to get this right. The answer's we're going to stay together. Okay, spirit, am I going to stay with my... Wait, no, the answer is not yes. Okay, let me try again.
I can't do this intuitive thing. I keep saying no. I don't know what's going on. Yes.
It's so true because we all do it. We're all like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I want it to be what I want it to be. But again, that's where the surrender comes in, you know, realizing that if we've... And that's what they call it, a leap of faith. You know, If we could see it, if we knew it logically, then all of this would be easy, right? There's no story here. So if you want a magical life, you have to be willing to do magical things. You have to be willing to participate in that process. And, you know, it's not always going to make sense. You know, a lot, like one of the characteristics, I think, of intuitive answers, like how do you know you're getting intuitive answers? Like it's a lot of the times it doesn't really make a lot of sense. And the reason why is because your intuition isn't rational. It's not logical. It's like your logic is English and your intuition is French. They're very different languages. They say the same thing. Your rational mind, your critical rational faculties, I mean, that those are wonderful skills too. You know, we have frontal lobes for a reason, guys. You know, that actually helps us do wonderful things in our lives as well. And the more balanced we are with our intuitive mind and our rational mind, the better we are, right? It's, we need both of those things. So learning to speak the language of intuition and understanding. So the analogy I give in my coaching practice, it's imagine in your mind right now, a connect the dot picture. And imagine that the connect the dot picture is a 5-pointed star, right? But pretend that you don't know what the star is. So what do? How do you connect the dots? Well, this is how the human operating system works, right? This is how humans do it currently. We go 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5, 5 to 6, 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12. And as we go, we're like, oh, it's a star. Congratulations. Yay. Wasn't that great? So we trust that process to have the picture come in. But intuition doesn't do that. Intuition doesn't do that. It goes, connect five and six. Connect five and six. Connect five and six. Oh, guess what? The answer's still connect five and six. Hey, Heather, you might want to connect five and six. Hey, today, guess what? It's still connect five and six. And it will keep doing that until you connect five and six. And then after five and six, it's like, okay, it's time for two and three. Oh, wait, now it's 15 and 16. And it comes in scattershot, right? Like it's, yeah. It's so you're like, what the hell is going on? This doesn't make any sense. I can't see anything. This picture's stupid. I don't even know why I'm doing this. You're not even listening to me. I'm just, this is all bullshit. But if you'll just stay with it, you'll see that that picture comes in and it and the answers are there. So that's why I was saying earlier, just wait. Don't give up. Keep doing it. And oftentimes your intuition will be even better, bigger, and faster. So it's kind of like another analogy I use to like following your intuition is pretend that you're in New York and you're on the street. And you know, they have all those tall buildings and you cannot see except for just like straight down the street in front of you. Or if you turn left, like you can't see, you know, 15 blocks away. You don't, your sight is limited, right? So what do? You grab your phone, you look at your nav and you kind of, like that would be the way you would go through it. So you can think of your higher self and your intuitive guidance as being that. Your higher self is sitting on top of the building. They're like, yo, hang a right. And then we're like, are you sure? Should we hang a right? I really think we should go left. And your higher self's like, no, really, go right. I promise. It doesn't make any sense. But what you don't know is the way that you think you're going to get there. There's a car accident up there. And that's the wrong way to go. I'm telling you, take a right. And if, when you follow its perspective, right, because it can see the whole picture, you end up getting there in a unique, fun, awesome way that is really better for you anyway. But again, that takes a lot of faith and self-trust. So if you've got to choose between your logical self or your intuition, I say go with your gut every time. So
yes. And yeah. I want to ask you how you choose between your logical self and your intuition, but we're going to do that in the secret episode because we have to finish up here. We
just
you forever.
Okay.
So thank you, Heather, for being on this podcast. It has been so much fun and so powerfully wise. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. We're going to go over and ask some juicy stuff about Heather's behind the scenes on her life, including how does she know the difference between the egoic mind and her intuition? And like, what does she do in the morning when she wakes up? What are her meditation practices like? The behind the scenes, the rituals that get her to be who she is every day. Because, I mean, you may have woken up like that one day, but to live like this, that took a whole other set of habits and rituals, I'm sure. And what else do you, like, what else can they come find out more about you about that website?
Yeah, so if you go to my website, heatheralashay.com, you'll get the free higher self meditation. I also have a 21-day meditation journal that accompanies the meditation. So the whole point of this is to really help people develop that daily meditation habit. If you're interested in having a private reading with me, it's 60 minutes where we just dive deep. I tap in, read your energy, and we find out what's, you know, coming up for you. If you have questions, you can bring those into session. It's so much fun. So you can go to my website and check out, you know, what a private reading would be all about. And then I also have information on if you're interested in becoming an intuitive coach or doing intuitive development, you can book a clarity call with me, which I believe there's a button on my homepage for that. And then I also have courses online that you can check out. It's under Academy or courses. I can't remember what the button is on my website. So just go check that out. And then I also have a lot of free content on my blog that if you want to learn about intuitive development or higher self alignment and all those good things, that's free. You can just like, you know, gorge away on binging all the blog posts. Mm-hmm. So there's something for everybody over there and I hope to see you there for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you want to hear all of that juicy behind the scenes stuff, go to aninspiredlife.com.au/secret. And that's where you'll get access to the secret episode. If you have enjoyed this podcast and you feel as though it's helped you to trust your own intuition more, I invite you to share this with your community. Just one sentence in here that you share with someone that you love could make a massive difference to their life. So you can make a massive difference just by sharing. So please do. And if you have any questions or you want to start a discussion around trusting your intuition, then you can join us in the Facebook group Lightworkers Rising. I almost forgot for a second there. So facebook.com/groups/Lightworkers Rising, and you can find Heather and I, our beautiful faces, and come ask any questions you have or tell us what your greatest insight or aha moment was from listening. Thank you everyone for listening, and I will see you over at the secret episode. Bye for now.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I've put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions from the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.